So first, by way of introduction about whose sicha we're going to be studying, the person who wrote this was actually transcribed from tapes, was Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Not sure how many, some people would be very familiar, or some people not at all. Reb Shimshon Pinkus was an extraordinary person. He was American, a huge Talmud Chacham. He was born in 45. He came to Eretz Yisrael in the 60s. Learned in Brisk, and then he was actually a grandson of Shlomo Rebbe through his mother. Tremendously, very passionate, deep person. Had a big hand in Kabbalah actually, and was an extraordinary speaker. He had tremendous sense of metaphor. Very inspirational person. He lived inspired, and he inspired people. He became Rav of a small town in the south called in Ofakim. And really led an extraordinary community. Everything was around him. He took the entire burden. He was very inspiring, and so on. He would go around and say shiurim in different places. And in 2001, he was killed in a tragic car accident, him, his wife, and a daughter. Very, very tragic. I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And I just need to say over, it was right before Pesach, a week before Pesach. His parents were still alive. They were in their 90s probably at the time, or a little bit younger. And his father said a hesped on him. And he said, the shock of it, he was such a vibrant, dynamic person. And on a trip back home from one of his speaking engagements, he was killed in a car accident. And I was there at the hesped, and his father said that, Shimshi, he said, go up to Shemayim and tell them that you could have been Marbitz Torah for another X amount of years. You demand the schar for each and every year that you could have been Marbitz Torah. And that was the father's hesped, incredible. So he has actually, Baruch Hayim Toruchim, there's a nephew of his that was in yeshiva, his youngest brother's son. They've put out a lot from tapes. I don't think he ever wrote anything, but they put out a lot of his tapes, and they transcribed it. And he had a unique ability. He was a big mekubel himself. Obviously, he didn't speak Kabbalah in public, but he used a lot of the metaphor, a lot of the depth. He had a unique ability to give it over, and a lot of his sfarim are definitely sfarim worth learning. They probably translate in English. I don't know what the quality is in English, I have no idea. But this is a piece on Lag BaOmer. One more, that's about the Mechaber. I just felt I knew him to some degree, I knew of him, and I was there when he was killed, so I felt a need to tell a little bit about him. Lag BaOmer is a very, very strange yontiv of sorts. It's very mysterious where it comes from. We don't have much, of its hishtalshalus. In Chutz La'aretz, 100 years ago, was almost unknown. And Eretz Yisrael was always celebrated from the Arizal's times onwards. People made a big deal out of it. I guess Eretz Yisrael is closer to Kedusha, and that's people felt it. Today in Eretz Yisrael, it's obviously it's an extraordinary day of celebration. It's a very unusual. And it focuses around Shimei Choy. So let's see the Maimer here, and we'll see a little bit about it. Lag BaOmer is the day of the Ptir of Shimei Choy. The Rabbi Maimer Sol Nogel Alas Lekivri Mazeh, many go up to his cave. Mashal Matsina Kemat Eitzel Af Echad Migdol Adaris. We don't find any type of going up to someone's cave. It's just not, you have local Chassidim go to the Rebbe, but the type of universality and going to the caver is unusual. He said also, he writes next paragraph, we don't find any type of zmiras, shiras, esprachos about tzaddikim and gdolim and gaonim. We shy away from like a sainthood of worship to the saints. It's not part of Yiddishkeit. So we don't say shiras brachos about people. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu. The exception, he says, he does say over here in Simchas Torah, there is a piyut diskatzon zelazem Moshe Lemorim. This is a little bit mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu. Sfaradim have something. of Mipikel, and they say Moshe and Kal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it certainly is nothing like the type of Shiras Brachos to Rav Shem Yechoi. Vina, he says, B'lak Boma, the third paragraph, Matzino Pizmonim Yechodim Sheshchavik Dil Olor Pashosh Shvoi. We have a pizmon about Rav Shem Yechoi, Kigoyin Bar Yechoi Din Shach Tashrech Hashem Sadin Chavrecha. It was made by a big mekubel named Rav Shimon Levi. It's very, very unusual. What prompted it? And that's a good question. What is it about his personality that we ought to do it? I want to sort of jump the gun a second. The answer is going to focus, obviously, that it's not a worship of the person, but there's some quality of him as a person that is a certain perfection that we'd like to strive to. That's going to be the point he's going to be making about it. Next, right after the black one, Nasa the Mechuvah Kapi Rav Shem Yechoi. Oise Piyut, in that same Piyut, Bar Yechoi Nimshach Tashrecha, Kol Besocho Dvorim Noiroim Nifam Seos Torah. It has a lot of extraordinary phrases taken from Kabbalah about Rav Shem Yechoi. Dvorim Nisgavim Mibinotei, things that are really beyond our common understanding. Echara to armu vam shamhu, nasa odam nema bavurecha. One of the things we say over there is, nasa odam bavurecha nema. Now, it's an extraordinary phrase. It means, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said nasa odam, it was for you, for Shem Yechoi, that he said nasa odam. Now, that has two flavors, two nuances. One is like, you know, it was nobody else is worth anything except for Shem Yechoi, kind of, you know, it's like you have some sort of business deal, you sell a lot of tchotchkes, then you make one huge sale and you say all of this was nonsense, this is the only one that. That's a simple way of looking at it. It's a little oversimple. A much more accurate translation would be that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Nasa Adam, he meant something very specific. Adam is a certain type of projection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, of Kvod Shemayim, that is unique to Adam. And the one who personified it, who embodied the unique quality of Adam, is Rav Shem Yechoi. So it's not just, well, all the people are worth this, Rav Shem Yechoi is the person that's worth it. It's a lot more nuanced than that. It means in the quality of Adam, whatever that will be, and that's what he's going to explain, is something which is going to be unique, and that is Rav Shem Yechoi's unique perfection. Bepashas grosa amishol loyma kesheim shala havdol avdolus al klayisol kapumis oilam nema kedu adam atem atem kriu adam ben ivri kham kriu adam. It's similar to Chazal say that the title Adam is more given to Klal Yisrael than is to other nations. We embody a certain quality. And I want to interject something which should be obvious, but it's not Chas v'Shalom dehumanizing anyone. It's we don't understand what Adam means. There's a certain quality that HaKadosh Baruch had in mind when he made Adam that Klal Yisrael uniquely brings out. Obviously, anyone who chooses it is Klal Yisrael and takes on Klal Yisrael and embodies it as well. But there's something very unique about what Adam ought to be that Klal Yisrael has. So the word Adam, the way it's meant to be, not the standard that the bottom standard says ourselves, but what Adam is meant to be, that's unique of Klal Yisrael. So it's just like we to the nations of the world embody Adam in a way that they don't embody. In Klal Yisrael itself, although everybody is some manifestation of Adam, Ach bemuven echleti, but in a certain absolute sense of Adam in its fullest meaning. So if we ask ourselves, what is Adam? Rav Shimon Yochai is going to be that image of the Adam that Hakadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. So now we're going to need to try to understand a little bit what is Adam. There are two things that we need to think about. Reish is, first of all, Mavacha Peshato Adam. What does Adam mean? Because he says, the truth is, Adam is not the most noble description of man. Chazal give, in different places, rankings to Enosh, Adam, Ish. Ish is usually considered the most noble of the titles given to man. Ish is an Ish Chashuv. Adam, because it shares the word Adama with Adam means the earth man, the one from earth, one doesn't expect it to be the most Chashuv title. And he says, the other titles go Ish. Shaloshna Chashivus, Ish Moshe. Ish does denote something chashuv. If you remember the Mishnah is in Yuma, Ishi Kohen Gadol. They would say Sir Kohen Gadol. Ish is definitely a more noble title. Adam doesn't necessarily express chshivus. Anrabe, hamila Adam lekucha mamila Adama. Adam really means the one from earth. My Adam. So why would Adam be the unique title for someone that is Nasa Adam Rechanema, Atem Krim Adam Virmus Adam Krim Adam and so on? One, two. V'dava noisav, we have to explain, and why, what is it by the Shem Yochai's sitkes that express this? We're not talking about a totality of perfection. He was the biggest tzaddik. It was something about his particular tzitkis, or the particular point that he perfected, that most specifically expresses Adam. What is it? So, understanding a little bit about what the Torah of Adam is, and understanding about Shem Yochai. Okay, so now he starts to explain what Adam is. Yeshna bracha miyuchedes atziras Adam. There's a bracha that speaks about creation of man. Oisem mevarchan emisipom b'yom. We make it asheyatzas Adam b'chachma. So every a few times a day, we make a bracha about the creation of man. Chasim bracha zohi rofi cholbasa umafli lasis. So we finish the bracha. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals everyone. Umafli lasos, that he does something that is incredible, inexplicable, unfathomable. Mafli means something that is inexplicable. It's something that's it's beyond our understanding. Umuva betur. The Torah says, and the Rambam brings it down. Umafli lasos kirisa bemedrash ki godel atavais and flois. It says that a person is full of ruach of wind. And when you take a bag full of wind like a balloon and you make a hole in it, the wind goes out. A person is his body is full of openings and pores and stuff, and still he keeps inside him his ruach. Are oisin aflos. The Ramah who brings this, and I think that's what he means to say, adds a little more that this is not the physical part of it. A lot more, it has to do with the fact that the spirit is tied to the body. And that is something that is the mafli. Let's talk about it a little bit. He'll describe it, but I want to first talk outside about it, and so we gain a sense of it. Many of the functions that we do, that we think are incredible, today we realize they're just complex. For instance, seeing something. So we can take today photoelectric cells, we can line them up somewhat, and make a program to recognize certain light waves and respond in a certain way. So I can take the, it still is extraordinarily wondrous that the eye is it has it built in and so on, and in many ways it still beats any system we have, but it's an understandable system. Light is physical. Light strikes something physical, which is, it goes through a lens, it strikes a cell reacts to it. It's something that is not inexplicable. Maybe we may not know the process, but matter to matter to matter. I can figure out many things. So if there are 100 people in the room and X amount of flour makes X amount of bread, how much bread does a person need? I know how much flour I need for the bread. I can work out how many bags of flour I'll need in the kitchen. I can do it. A computer can do it. And it's very simple that a computer can do it. A computer is pieces of metal. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's an electric state of a byte, on, off, and that represents something. It represents grains of flour, it represents challah, it represents anything. What I'm doing simply is transitioning physical phenomena to physical entities and so on. Let's take something else. Imagine I'm printing these sheets on the yeshiva photocopier, and it breaks because I tried too many sheets. They were crumbled, they didn't make it through, and so on and so forth. Okay, that makes sense, especially knowing the yeshiva copier and so on, my level of care for making sure that there are no creases, this and that, makes a lot of sense. Let's say it jams, and the guy comes to fix it, and he says, you know, I think the photocopier was so overwhelmed by the content that he simply got stuck. He was so stuck with it. Now, if I told you about the author, he promised the article, what happened? Why didn't he produce it? I asked him 100 times to write up. And I'll tell him, you know, I'll tell you the truth. He was writing it, and he just was so moved by it that he couldn't do it. You know, if the material is emotional or personal, I say, yes, it makes a lot of sense. The photocopier, it's not, even if the photocopier could recognize, even if it had a super duper Google recognition and it could print out that content highly emotional, it still wouldn't have an emotional reaction, because emotional reaction is not a physical phenomenon. It's because it doesn't relate to a thing, and it's something that can't and will not be translated into a physical. I cannot translate physical to physical. So the question is, I understand, I mean, I don't know how, but I understand that a little bird in a tiny brain can have a navigation system that is better than GPS. And it's something that's mind-boggling that a little bird brain, excuse me for the you know, a little bird brain has in it navigation algorithms that you know, beat anything we have. They fly across the world without stopping, no flight delays, no lost luggage. You know, they do it perfect. But it's things to things. It's dots of land, and north, east, south has some physical coordinate. It has some coordinates of the sun, of gravitational field. It's physical to physical to physical. So the astounding part of it is that so much complexity can be put in to such a small area. It requires a very clever system. Okay, but beauty, emotion, spirituality, they're just not physical. There's no way you can write an algorithm for it for a computer, because you can't translate. It doesn't translate into that language. So where is it, my brain, that I see something that that I have in my brain a sense of tragedy, beauty, you know, 101 things like that. Very, very, very difficult. It's impossible. Let's go a step further. You know, this is a little bit, you know, but let's go a step further than that. imagine that I have, I see something coming at me. I see a terrible animal coming at me. And the animal has the ability to harm me. So I'm set up in a way that my body reacts to that. So if it's big, quick, it looks at me or something, I have something in me that recognizes it. And I understand the system of it. The system is, I need to have built in my body things that will react to it. And that makes a lot of sense because it's a physical phenomena that I'm reacting to. So I begin to run quickly, I begin to sweat, I begin, whatever the reactions are. But when I react to the sense of wrong, shame, not the shame where society will recognize it and I'll be an outcast, I won't have a job, and I won't have this, that. But personal shame, where no one knows anything, but I know it's wrong. Where the wrong is spiritual, it's not in any way a physical harm whatsoever. No one was hurt by it, no one will know about it. But my sense of right, of tov, it creates that reaction. And we all know our sense of things has a profound impact on a person. I don't know, that was when I was growing up, heart attacks were caused by bad news or something bad. Then it was caused by cholesterol and this and that. And today we're back again to bad news, to stress. And the bad news is not, I understand if it's news that requires a physical reaction. So my heart will be quickly, there'll be adrenaline, there'll be that. But when it's something that is totally not physical, it's spiritual, that is impossible to comprehend the connection between the two. That's mafli lasos. Gosh Baruch Hu took a piece of meat, and if the program cells to recognize things, isn't that? That's not a pella. That is complex. It's wondrous, but it's not a wonder. But when you're able to somehow combine the two, I give away my last piece of bread for someone else who's starving, and I'm hungry, and and I don't know my own survival, but I feel good about it. That's something that has no. It's in this world. It is inexplicable. So that is the chibur of ruach and geshem that is the pella of Tzuras Adam. So he says, let's see it inside. The body is a physical entity. That's all it is. Lumosay nefesh hidavaruchni. What we speak about a soul, spiritual means it is not. It has no overlapping areas. Chesed and achzarius, kedusha and tumah, das and atzlus and zrizus. Those are qualities that have zero translation in the physical in a guf. And when a person gets this aura, I'm this aura because I want to do good, my whole body starts moving along. How did that idea translate itself into my guf reacting? These are two separate entities. He says, let me give you just a graph example. If I tell somebody, what's in your pot? There's psukim of chumash in the pot. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Psukim don't today we have holograms, but the content of a pasuk doesn't in any way attach to something physical. You can't attach it. I wonder sometimes about these things. Somebody, I have an acquaintance who makes a lot of money selling Judaica. A very fine person, very honest person. He sells very extremely high-end Judaica. And he told me, I asked him, what's your generally most expensive item? And he told me, I don't know if any of you have seen it. I don't think only high cars because it's $20,000 item. So I'm not sure that's in the budget of most people here. It's a Kiddush cup. The inside of it is another, like a second layer, where all the words of Kiddush are cut out in that inner layer, so that the wine is constantly steeped in the words of the Kiddush. And it's supposed to be. I assume that it has some mekoros because and if it's done well, you can obviously do it very cheaply. But if it's done well, he showed me. I don't remember. I just was very, very fascinated. But we all understand that it's a metaphor for something. It doesn't become holier. You know, the wine going through the words don't become the wine. The wine don't become the words. It is what it is. But it's not. I once saw a mice about a gadol. I don't remember who it was. It was somebody two or three generations ago that they were talking about something, and he gave a big krechts, and he said, you know, they were talking about something that had happened, and they were talking about it in a very matter-of-fact tachless way, and then he gave a groan and he said, you know, my father was a rav before me, and someone came to him with a shaila about a sefer Torah that had fallen down. And the person asking the shaila said the sefer Torah, and as soon as my father read the sefer Torah, he fainted. You know, he knew it was going to be a shaila about something that happened to sefer Torah. He said he heard the word sefer Torah, he fainted. And we're sitting and talking so collectively about this event, and it doesn't make any impact on us. I feel terrible. But the idea that a person that these conceptual ideas and feelings could become part of my guf. Lachen, he says, dafkal chibu muflaze bein aguf l'neshama nemo maflasis. The word pella applies to a nes that is not just the improbable, but the impossible. For instance, the Kriyas Yamsuf, it's extraordinary they should dry out, but an ocean drying out in itself, it's an unusual phenomena, but it's not an unnatural in the sense that it can't be. But you have, for instance, Mu'at, the Gemara says there were three times when Mu'at was Machzik's Meruba. Then in a small space, they had more people that could fit in. The Aron HaKodesh Kadoshim, Klal Yisrael, it says, by the Badi Ha'aron, they fit in. There are three places, the Klal Yisrael, when they went Alila Regal. That a bigger entity be in a smaller place is an impossibility for us. It's not an improbability. It's not unusual. It doesn't require great strength or great cleverness. It's just impossible. So mafli means something that is. I can't figure it out. You know, I can understand how much drying out an ocean would require a lot of sun, but it doesn't. I can understand the idea of drying out a body of water, but having something bigger fit in something smaller is just impossible. Lachaini says, next paragraph. Dafkal chibu muflazeh says, Bein aguf hasham, we say maflasis. Next paragraph, sorry. Zehu be'etzem hagdoras hapelag al yosef. Adam is the pella. That's something that's real flesh and blood, and we share every bit of ourselves with the animal. Biologically, we are extremely interchangeable to every animal. And this piece of flesh, which is it's part and parcel of a very physical world, all of a sudden carries in itself things that are beyond that. Where do those things lay? Where do they connect to the person? Ha'adam ikorim adama. And he says, in the very word Adam, you have a remez for this. Hamila Adam Merkevis Meshnei Chalokim Aleph Edam. The word Aleph in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew is something which is the word Aleph. The letter Aleph means Aleph, which is the same letters as Pella. Pella is the wonder, like we spoke about one. Another understanding of why Aleph represents that is because Aleph, when we say the Aleph of something, means the beginning of something. And the Gemara says, Breishis should have started with an Aleph. It's natural. You start with the Aleph. Anochi starts with Aleph. The beginning, when I say something's beginning, it means from where it came from is unanswerable. If I tell you this is the start I mean that it's disjunct from anything that happened before. So how does something come from nothing? Every aleph, the word, the concept of the first is always, it came from nowhere. So the letter aleph is something which is which represents that. Another area that the word aleph, just so we get a sense of it, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he is Yud, Hey, and a Vav, and a Hey. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fullness of his manifestation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not visible but will be visible is called Eke. It's the future. I will be. I will be means it's not now. And if we think about it a little bit, I don't want to go much into it, but the concept of a future tense is really something very difficult to understand. When I say this and this will happen tomorrow, so it can mean one of two things logically. One is, if somebody sets a time bomb and he winds up the clock, and the bomb will explode in an hour, in a day, whatever it is, yes, it'll happen tomorrow, but really it's wound up now. When I say that tomorrow morning the Zrich is going to be at a certain time, what I mean is the sun has, the earth has its orbit, and we know the speed of it, and we know when it's going to turn round, and so on and so forth. So really I'm making a statement about now. That's one thing. A second thing, when I say tomorrow I will do this and this, in English we use the word will. It means I wish to do this. I can't tell you that tomorrow I'm going to do this. What I mean to say is I intend to do it. That's the only thing that makes sense. The aleph of Eke, the aleph which is the personal future tense, is really that, it's all part of that sense of Pella, where something comes that I can't make sense of it. So he says, and he speaks about Aleph being that part of Ruchnis, which above the last paragraph in this section. Hachibu beina Aleph ledam. How that Aleph connects to the dam. Bebchinas hadamu anefesh. Etzim uv deploy yizu. Shadam agash and sug lachot teres nefesh Ruchnis. Hatzes adam. The blood of a person is his willpower. When we want something, the blood rushes. It's sort of our physical life force is manifest in the blood. So how my spiritual understandings and my spiritual content feeds into motivating, that's part of the Pella. Then he says, I'm going to make it a little bit short, it's a bit late. He says, Kol Yisra Enosha Filu Goyniku Adam. Every human being is Adam. But Klal Yisrael has a much stronger, in this area, we're expected to be more to connect the two together. Let's see, next page. So he speaks here about I'll summarize it a little bit, these paragraphs here, and so that we get the sense of it. You take a look by a lot of the Kuzari, when he has one of his debates between the Melech Kuzari and the Chaver, the Kuzari says, if you people are so spiritual, that's all you're interested in, then how come you don't sit in monasteries all day and remove yourself from the world? And a question is, the concept of removing yourself from the world, the world, it's the physical engagement of the world as being second best or not quite valuable or whatever it is a dominant theme in many religions and beliefs. The idea that a person can be mekadesh something and do something in a way that he that it brings kedusha in that is something that is unique. I want to take a minute to discuss it, because this idea is one of those ideas that are maligned. They're actually distorted a lot of times. People will do a very physical act. They'll fill themselves with shalot and say, we believe that this is kedusha. Listen. It's definitely not bad, but I don't think that's not the way to interpret it. Let's give an example. We see people drinking. So one person sits and drinks because he's bored out of his mind. And one person is running away from something and he's drinking himself senseless. One person has just made a shidduch and they take out, they make a l'chaim, molit fila, that the zivik should be matzliach and haidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can feel it. You can feel when the drinking is coarse and when the drinking has itself. A person makes kiddush on wine. Or, you know, and a person's mekadesh the Yom HaShabbos with a minimal amount of kavana. We don't sit around drinking wine Friday night. We sit around and the person's mekadesh Shabbos. I always say when a father bends over to give a bracha to his daughter at the chuppah and kisses her, what we see is an act of pure kedusha. So it depends very, very, very much on what our thought is. What life did we put into it when we did it? There was a famous rabbi, the Rapshitzer, Raftali Rapshitz. He used to watch his chassidim dance, and he would look at one pair of feet. He would look at the feet, and at one pair he would say, "I see a pchina of a malach." Another one, he would say, "Baltashas on the shoes, wearing out a perfectly good pair of shoes." You know, I don't see any kedusha in his dance. It depends. So Adam has the ability to do things take physical things, and when done in the way that's supposed to do it, it's molei kedusha. We see people eating. One person, we see it's coarse, it's physical. He sinks into the food. And one person, you get a sense that he's elevating the food. That what he's doing is really something molei hoid and so on. Okay, the next caption. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Torah la'aretz. B'musig Adam atzma yeshem adreges shaynes. He said, so we have Adam is made of physical and spiritual, and then mitzvahs were given to us. He says, the truth is, Torah was really given for that. Lifnei matan Torah, it's paragraph before the last. Haya olam lifnei atzma Torah ha-shamayim. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Torah down in ha-shamayim, it means there was no path to incorporate the two together. Shem ve'eva was sort of an island someplace, and the idea that a world of mitzvahs comes and inspires physical things that we do, whether it's eating, whether it's marriage, whether it's industry or anything like that. Moshe brought it down to the earth, which means he made it a vehicle to become part of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu, he intertwined the two, he connected them, he joined them. He said, I want to add an interesting shot. It says Paro didn't know Lashon Kodesh, and that's why that was the whole story. But Yosef, he knew Lashon Kodesh, He said, why didn't he know Lashon Kodesh? Lashon Kodesh is very holy. Today, plenty of goyim know Hebrew. It doesn't take a Yisrael to learn Hebrew. So Paro didn't. So he says, until Moshe brought Lashon Kedusha down to this world and made it possible to incorporate itself, it really was beyond. It really was distinct. It was only with bringing it down. Okay, now let's go back to where we're holding. Let's say Reish Hei. This is where he comes back to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, which we were talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the small paragraph before the last on page Reish Hei. Achein Chiba ben Atar Kla Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu tied the two together. Ubekachu banas Yehudim yichnas tzuras Adam. Ula, soif, me'achu meduba yibedor deya. We're talking about a unique generation, Dor Mekabat Torah. Hoyse lahem shaychus benekuda mesiyam sarak doisha vatoyrach in hoyse ruhi lahem. So it was something that was for a particular generation. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Shimon ben Yochai al hashalom chidesh mufla. And now let's see. Let me explain it outside so that it'll be easier. And we'll, if we're to look in Torah itself, so Torah itself has also a neshama and a guf. And neshama and a guf, in the sense, you have the physical halachas, tefillin. tefillin is made out of parchment. These parashas are written in such a way, and all the Shulchan Aruch is the goof of it. And then you have much deeper aspects, which is the neshama of it, which is what Kabbalah was supposed to, is. Kabbalah is a way of understanding the Ruach. And to make it clear, just like there are no disembodied neshamas in this world, neshamas are either there or they're in a body. There's no kedusha that you can get to that's not tied to a body, which is physical halachas. But within the physical world, within the physical mitzvahs, there's a content that is the neshama to it. And we can learn all of Shulchan Aruch and not even detect that. And it's good enough. But Rav Shimon Yochai was able to show the mafli lasis of that world of Ruchnius to the world of Ruchnius of physical objects. How exactly does that connect? And more than that, anybody who picks up a Shulchan Aruch, who picks up a Shulchan and learns it, he might get it wrong. Chances are, if he doesn't learn it well enough, thoroughly enough, consistently enough by somebody, he'll get things wrong. But at the end of the day, it's still possible to learn it within the physical terminology that we have, because it's about things and it's complicated. It has its own way of being medame mosa. But at the end of the day, it's about things. Kabbalah is not like that at all. Kabbalah is about ideas and ideas that connect to certain things. And Reb Shimon Yochai gave us a sefer that somehow, in the words and those terms, he gives us over that mesoris. It's something that you can't learn without hearing it from a neshama of somebody, from somebody who's giving over, because it's that type of thing. But the ability to be able to write a sefer that in physical words you have the concepts, that's incredible. So Reb Shimon Yochai is sort of the center of the center. It's like in the target, it's the center of the target. Because since all the Torah is the ability to take things that are spiritual, have no connection with the physical, to actually incorporate it, then it means that he was able to pinpoint that connection between the two. Let's see a finishing paragraph here. Reishvav, last page. Nimtza Eifoy, Kirpshim Echoy Hoyezesha Zochel Echab Meshteak Tzavas Amruchokos, Beyoisa Achas Mashnia. He was able to take, and he says more than that. You know, we have a concept in Torah that there's Yiridus Hadoros. There's a sense that in Rishonim, Kimalochim, Onik, Bnei Adam, nobody in Rishonim don't argue on the Gemara. That might be, that's my Ikar. I didn't, probably, it's Machlokas, but we don't, Achronim will rarely argue on a Rishon, certainly nobody today, none of our Achronim, because we say to ourselves, we just don't have that sense of Torah that Rishonim had and so on. In the Sefer Shem Echoy, it became part of Klal Yisrael's literature at the end of the Doros, not at the beginning of the Doros. The other way around, it was hidden. In the beginning of the Doros, the Gemara talks about a hidden part of Torah with no clue, really, a bit here, a bit there, but no clue to it. It's something that surfaced later. So Dafke, in the Dor that's most coarse and most physical, the Doros that were less, Zubchinas Maflas Agdol B'Yoshech Ma'olam. That is the Mafli Lasos. V'yigia Derech Shem Echoy. L'chein Nasa Odom Nema Bavurecha. B'chibu Zeh Izgalsa Yitzios Odom B'Sios Ofati. This particular aspect of Odom, which is the core aspect, the ability to translate things that are not at all physical and have no connection whatsoever into that, is that. And he says, and that's why he feels there's such a focus on talking about Reb Shem Echoy, because in a certain sense, it was the missing piece. It was the missing link between man as having a neshama and man as having a guf. And how and to show somebody that one manifested the other was shayach to this. I want to add one or two points when it's late, very late. One of the in terms of halacha, in terms of practice, Kabbalah added many practices that don't have real roots in halacha. and they are seen as hidu mitzvah. But I mean, that's the general. A little bit is brought to shacharich, but the general aspect of when somebody says he does something al pi kabbalah, it's the realm of hidu mitzvah. It's not the realm of chiyuv. The point is, and the people, especially by chassidish rebbes, it was a big thing. The point is that you try to use every nuance of human behavior to express, to project some ruchnis element. So wearing the right part of the jacket on top of the left instead of the left on top of the right, the amount of stripes. Is that to us? The answer is because in a certain sense the perspective of Kabbalah was that every piece of this world ties to something else. I just have to figure out how to do it. It's just like somebody is very artistic. Every piece, that the colors and the type of furniture and the type of things, he's going to make an attempt because everything to him is project something, and he needs to have that into play. That was the mile of, and that was the goddess of it. But it's something. I mean, going. So it's an extraordinary understanding of Rav Shimon Mechoy what was the chelik of Torah that he brought, and the shleimus ha'adam more than anything else? That's very extraordinary. It's something that we could think a lot in terms of emunah. When we want to focus on the strongest, in my mind, the strongest imperative for emunah is not in the complexity of what is, because it's funny, it's interesting in science. We began to see that things connect and are part of the same phenomena because they affected one another. If it's possible to shine a light on something and electricity flows, there must be commonality of electricity and light. If a magnet can produce electricity magnet, they must be part of the same thing. You can't. But if somebody were to write a poem and put it on his car and the car stopped moving, then we would say it's just. They don't intersect in any way. And the fact that a human being, and the more, if we ask ourselves, how do we define a very spiritual person? How do you define a person who embodies ruchnius? The answer is that his physical actions and reactions are in tune. And what he knows to be right from the Torah, that exactly is the stimulus for his body. He instinctively, it's kolatz moisai. Maybe just finish with a, I might have said over once, but it's just a something I once saw from the Chazon Ish that was incredible. The Chazon Ish was not a speaker. Chazon Ish wrote beautifully, wrote incredibly beautifully, and a lot of alumnius. He was a very, very inhibited person in public, and would not and could not speak publicly, never did speak publicly. He spoke tremendously one-on-one, but in public he didn't speak. There was a big asifa about Shemitah, and Shemitah took a tremendous amount of effort to bring it into Klal Yisrael. It hadn't been practiced, tremendous sacrifice, and the Chazon Ish was Meisa Nefesh for it. And they had a big asifa, they had a big get-together, and the Panovich Rav spoke. Panovich Rav was a master orator, and he swayed the public. And then he turns to Chazon Ish, and he said, speak. And Chazon Ish says, I can't. He said, speak. So Chazon Ish got up, and he said three words. Kol atzmoisai tamar. Every bone in my body says this. And he sat down. And that is the sense of that chibur between, and there was the Chazon Ish, somebody told, the Chazon Ish usually had tremendous self-control. Somebody came and told him about, he had been promised by some government official that X would happen or wouldn't happen, and someone came and told him he had been taken or whatever it was. And he said he saw the Chazon Ish's face turn white. The idea that someone could lie would just blew him. He wasn't stupid. He was naive, but the idea that sheker could exist, that a person could deliberately go and tell somebody A when he has no intention of doing it, and do B, was something that destroyed him. That is the chibur of Guf Nefesh. And Rav Shimon Ben Choy brought in this nekuda, and that's why we project his shlemus as an Adam, because that is very much the core of the Torah that he gave out to Klal Yisrael.
Thank you.